We're going back to the beginning for a whole new episode about a segment that died on the vine. This is the Awesome Cast. Hey, folks, and welcome to the Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. I'm Basil.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Dylan.
I'm John.
And that's us. So, originally, our plan was we were going to get an actual awesome quest out called, based off the game Quiet Caper, where we were going to pretend that Anime Con still existed. But things came up, and we could not record that. And we still can't get everyone together, but we've got us. And so, well, very recently, a lot of things came out news-wise in the world of awesome, which used to be a segment where we covered news bits, except we never actually got the episodes out in time for the news. So, we're going to try it this time. We are recording on February 27th in the year of our Lord 2021, and this should be coming up the following Monday, which would be March 1st, 2021. So let's see how that works. I mean, worst comes to worst, it'll come out on Tuesday. So if anything has happened on Sunday or Monday, well, we're not going to talk about it.
Because otherwise we would be witches.
And we are not witches of any color, really. So, with that said, we will cue in the music for the World of Awesome to start off this thing of OSM news. So, I've got everything sort of under three different categories. And our first category we'll be talking about is anime, animation, and Frasier.
Is there Frasier news?
There is Frasier news, yes.
Holy
shit. That well-known genre.
Frasier is basically anime.
I mean, that's... I don't think you're entirely wrong. Our first bit is all about Evangelion, because we like that thing for some reason.
Fucking love it.
And we found out that... we are finally in Japan, for sure, maybe, might see the theatrical release of Evangelion 3.0+1.0, which equals 4.0, but it's called Thrice Upon a Time. It's coming out now on March 8th.
Prepare to have none of your theories answered.
I bet I have all of them answered, because I think I'm already right.
And you might be, but I don't want to know them because I'm a bad weeb and I need to watch them past the first one.
You know, here's the thing. The first one's the worst one. It's the most like the TV show, and it's the worst one. There are some interesting tidbits in it, but it's like I've seen these episodes literally 30 times plus. I stopped counting years ago. So it's the slowest. It's still good, but it's the weakest of the three. Some people would argue that 3.0 is the worst. It's the fucking best. You just don't fucking understand it.
I'm kind of inclined to agree with you, actually.
I mean, 3.0 is the most Evangelion of them all. Hands down. Anyway, we're not talking about 3.0. We're talking about 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time. This time he's gonna fucking get it right.
We all get back together in 20 more years for Evangelion 67 square root over infinity or something.
I was about to say, we could do a whole hour podcast about what I think is going to happen in this movie, but let's not.
Ono's going to make the fans mad?
I don't think he is.
Can he do anything but make the fans mad?
Yes. Because End of Evangelion was... literally right after the TV show ended, and he got death threats and shit. I mean, the death threats are literally in End of Evangelion. Like, they're there for a frame, but they're in there. And it's literally just a giant fuck you to everybody who's like, I don't like the ending. And he's like, you know what? You want a different ending? Fine. Here you go.
I will give you everything you ask for in a way you absolutely don't want it.
Yeah, it is a monkey's paw of a movie. And it is goddamn amazing.
Yeah.
I know who else is goddamn amazing. Megumi Ogata.
She is.
She is a goddamn treasure and apparently an absolute unit of a human being. She just had emergency surgery for a reoccurrence of a herniated disc. Ugh. And it was apparently extra worse than usual. Even still, she went to perform at an Anime and Game Symphony Japan at Suntory Hall this past Saturday. She was in a purple wheelchair with a strong cane, so that way she would look like she's singing songs from Ava while riding on an Ava 01 with a positron rifle.
Hell yeah.
Megumi Ogata is the best. I hope you have a wonderful recovery from your surgery and you're here with us many, many years to come.
Agreed. Speedy recovery. I can't believe you called her a unit without calling her a unit one. I didn't want to make jokes right in the middle of talking about her hernia. I figured I could at least give her the courtesy of waiting until we got the news out there. Man, it has to be physically fucking painful to play Shinji.
Yeah. That is the one thing I do have to say for the new Netflix dub. Casey, I forget his last name, or their last name, who does Shinji, has got the Megumi Ogata level screaming down, which is really important for Shinji.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta have the vocals, because you're going to do some screaming in a couple of places.
That is the one casting I find superior from the original ADV dub.
That's fine that you enjoyed it. I just can't. Like, I can't go against the ADV dub. I just cannot.
I mean, I, of course, super miss Tiffany Grant as Asuka, but that just is not the same.
We did a whole interview about that, if you guys want to listen to that, from Hamacon 10, RIP. Yeah. A really insightful interview. It happened right after the Netflix dub came out, as things turned out. So we talked about that. We talked about whether or not she felt like she was ever going to get the opportunity to play Asuka again. You know, you can find out what she says there, but we'll see. As far as I know, Funimation still has the rights to all the rebuild films in America, and I have to imagine they're going to want to bring back their own actors. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that's got to be a whole weird, crazy mess of rights.
Right. I mean, now G-Kids is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, well, if you've been waiting for the Awesome Cast Ava TV show, just wait till we can land those Blu-rays and we're going to do an episode.
You know, I'm mad at myself because I already know that I'm going to buy it, but I really want to put some pressure on these guys to put the ADV dub on there. I'm fine if both dubs are on there, but I really want the ADV dub, and I want End of Evangelion with the ADV, or not the ADV dub, it's actually the manga dub that Amanda Wynn Lee directed. But I want that in there, and I want that fucking sound out. Anyone who's watched it knows exactly what I'm talking about. Amanda Wynn Lee threw that in there as a joke, and It didn't land with the audience the way it landed with her, I guess. But, you know, she fucking had to dive into that darkness for however long it took to direct that, so I can kind of understand why you get a little goofy with it.
I think I'm spoiled by Discotech. I now want all the dubs possible on a release.
Right. I want all the dubs. I want a new dub that I direct and cast.
Everyone gets their custom dub.
That's
right. Actually just like either A, Mike Toole voicing everyone, or B, Micah Solasad voice acting everyone. Actually, if I can just hit those two tracks, I'll be good. And the Japanese. That'd be also nice.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to watch it in the original Japanese, but put in all the dubs you can. Why not? Like completionists, the completionist package.
Now, what's weird serendipity here for us talking about the news, we mentioned Discotheque. Well, Discotheque is having their next Discotheque bevy of announcements also on March 8th, the same day that Ava 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time releases. Ignore that. Really, the movie will release a day ahead because time zones are weird and Japan's actually a day ahead of us. But our next three items to talk about is really just one item, in that Discotheque has got a lot of stuff now up for streaming.
Yay, Discotheque.
Things that really caught me first was recently just got already out. Things like Cyborg 009, Ninja Scroll the Series, and really for me, All-Purpose Cultural Catgirl Nuku Nuku.
Did they get the ADV dub on that?
I believe so, or at least there certainly is a dub. I think it might be all of them, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, ADV was the only dub that was made for Nuku Nuku, I think. And the cast was pretty consistent across all three.
I know that somebody else, I think there was a UK release that had their own dub.
Okay.
And so I know, again, this is Discotheque, on the SD Blu-ray, it has all the vocal tracks. So I can't remember what is streaming it they've got. I know there is at least one dub track. There might be all of them, but I've been watching it in Japanese because I learned my ways from Kevin.
It happens.
So I was excited for that. Recently, they've just added Hajime no Ippo, which is awesome. They've also got the OAVs for Love Hina Again, Who Cares?
Absolutely not me.
We've gotten the closest we'll ever review those shows already. It's called our Itsudate My Santa episode. You're welcome to watch it. More importantly, we are getting the Fatal Fury OVAs.
Hell
OAVs.
Yes.
Really? Oh my god, I can't believe. I don't even know where you made me say OVAs. OAVs. And Fatal Fury the Motion Picture. So, hell yeah.
I do have a real soft spot for Fatal Fury the Motion Picture.
I do as well, and I think John Extra does.
Yeah.
I need to watch that again because of the three, my favorite is still Legend of the Hungry Wolf. But recently I've heard a lot of people, you know, express like their love for the motion picture. I may just need to watch it again with like a fresh set of expectations because it has nothing to do with the games, and I guess that was kind of what drew me.
I'm kind of amazed they never imported the Obari original characters somehow. They just really just exist in that one movie, but they totally seem like characters that could be an SNK fighting game.
Oh, for sure.
Although the Blu-ray of that, watching it in HD, it is you're flipping a coin from scene to scene whether everything is super gorgeous or ridiculously off-model.
But will we have it any other way?
No, it's pretty great, in my opinion. But
now, these are all Crunchyroll ads, but don't worry. Discotheque is spreading that love to Retro Crush as well, where in March they're getting the English dub version of Ronin Warriors, they're getting City Hunter, they're getting Nuku Nuku, they're getting Psycho Armor Covarion. They're getting that good stuff.
Well, Psycho Armor Covarion isn't actually good, but it's good. It's going to guy trying to do Gundam. It's not quite as awesome as that sounds, but it's still sort of fun to watch.
Along with that, Pluto TV is going to be adding a Retro Crush programming block to its Anime All Day channel. So if for some reason you need that linear network of just nonstop anime, but you don't get to choose what you watch, Pluto TV is there for you.
Because someone will keep trying that. Who knows? It might work again one day.
Well, I mean, that's just what Pluto TV does. They just have always stuff streaming with linear channels online. That's just their deal.
Yeah.
Like, they've got a Naruto channel just there. If you want, just whenever you want Naruto in your life, you can hit up Pluto TV and just get some Naruto.
To be fair, there's probably enough Naruto that you could drop in and drop out and not see, like, the same episode for months.
I guess my question is why, but okay, you know. Do you find your happy in 2021?
Well, you know, end of the day, I would, and when I first saw the show's start, I would have said it the other way around, but at the end of the day, Naruto had a lot tighter story than Bleach did.
Yeah, because, you know, you could go literal arcs without knowing who the main characters are.
Like, when the shows first started, I would have sworn it would have turned out the other way, but...
Mm-mm. No, Bleach decided it needed to get everything off of the Taco Bell menu and put it into the show as a character, so, you know, you've got, you know, Chalupas El Grande, yeah. And... It's a real mess.
No, because they named everything with Spanish names for a while. Like, that's not a joke about how much they packed in there. That's literally what it sounds like to someone who doesn't speak the language.
Naruto's only major sin is it just decided to have a year of pointless filler.
Including chakra cancer. Let's never forget chakra cancer.
What's like, funny is, as someone, like... The age I was, and at the time those premiered, I think I had just really gotten into anime through a lot of 26-episode series, right?
Yeah.
And then had these introduced to me, like, hey, here's the premise of the show, and then I had yet to realize that the premise of the show is not actually what the show is going to be about.
Although, for a lot of folks... Stuff that you might have gotten into is now getting more stuff because everything old is new again, apparently, mostly. For example, this is actually a straight up just a new announcement where Hatsune Miku is finally getting an animated series.
Oh.
Hatsune Miku has been with us since 2007.
13 years? 14 years? That's not possible.
It is absolutely possible. But you're right. It's not possible that she hasn't gotten her own show yet.
How has she just not killed us all? Because I know the Vocaloids are just sharing Apple.
Yeah.
Like, they're here to fucking kill us.
It just, well, as soon as she gets access to the American drone system, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, for some reason, Letterman just didn't hand her over the keys. I don't get it. But, apparently, Krypton Future Media, who developed Miku, is teaming up with Graphic India and Carlin West Agency to make an animated series and plans for webtoons and comics. And I'm really happy for those who are big fans of the Mikus, because, dang, yeah, that's... 14 years and not to get her own TV show at this point because she is kind of a movement, I feel.
We did have Blackrock Shooter, and Blackrock Shooter is Goth Miku, and we had Recreators, and the villain is like Gilgamesh Miku.
I mean, we have VTubers now.
And that's
How's Hatsune Miku not a VTuber on Twitch?
I mean, Kaiba got to be a VTuber for a little bit. Why not Miku?
Officially or as like a fan VTuber?
No, they got what's his name Stewart to do the voice.
Like Stewart?
Yeah, like he did the voice or the thing.
Was that for like the virtual tournament thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where people like could act like some people like I don't know as anybody, but certain people got to like play against Kaiba, and Eric Stewart had to like. Live voice it as it was going on.
I'm sure it was hardcore into that.
I was not remotely in the running to get into that.
I know Anna was watching it and she felt really bad because she thought that the guy who was probably hired to actually play the cards, as Kaiba was not the best at the game.
Oh.
More people won against him than probably should have.
That's a lot of pressure to be under.
Oh, yeah. I bet it was. Much like the new studio that's bringing back Tokyo Mew Mew! Yeah!
That was a show that existed.
That was a show that existed in 2003.
It was briefly on Fox Kids, if I recall correctly.
I just thought that was... I was like, wow, Tokyo Mew Mew is coming back. Okay, that's... I mean, I don't think it's a terrible choice, but it's... It's a choice.
It's a choice. Maybe we were badly served by the previous adaptation. Maybe it's actually super good and they'll do it right this time.
Well, speaking of that, the Avatar creators are now getting to make more Avatar stuff. They get to bend all the things there because, well, CBS needs content for their streaming platform.
Boy, howdy, don't they?
Apparently, they cannot live off Star Trek alone like I can.
Oh, yeah, because they've expanded it to include, like, Nickelodeon properties and stuff like that.
Yeah, it isn't... What's the difference between Paramount and the CBS show?
There is no difference. Okay.
That's what I thought.
So, CBS and Paramount constantly, they would break apart, be their own thing, merge back together, break apart, be their own thing, mm-hmm. and from this, and now they've merged back together again. And while they were apart for a moment, CBS started CBS All Access. And while that was going on, they have once again merged back with Paramount. So now they've got their CBS stuff and their Paramount stuff. So now they're just rebranding CBS All Access as Paramount Plus. Boy, am I glad I have a pop filter in front of my microphone. So, one of the announcements they had was that they've got the original creators of Avatar The Last Airbender, Michael DiMartino, and Brian Konietzko. They have now formed a new studio under Nickelodeon Animation called Avatar Studios, and they are now the Avatar machine to start making Avatar stuff. And they're going to start with a brand new movie.
I hope they adapt the Kyoshi novels. They're gay as hell and ultra violent.
And I kind of wonder if this is also a case of they were not happy whatever was happening with the Netflix live action retelling of The Last Airbender.
I believe I heard they left the project.
They left the project like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And I think Paramount / CBS / whatever was like, yo, y'all aren't doing anything at the moment, are you? Can you? We don't really have anything. Can you make cartoons for us? And they were like, blank check. And I bet they went, blank check. It's that streaming money.
Yeah.
And well, along with that streaming money, we're getting a revival of Frasier.
Yay!
Weird thing to revive.
There's worse things you could revive.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not saying
like
it's
like Rush Limbaugh.
Bad. Oh, no.
So Kelsey Grammer had this to say. We'll see how people respond to it because it's not going to be in the same place. It's not going to be in Seattle. It's not going to be the same Frasier. It's going to be the man in his next iteration. Hopefully that'll be something people like watching. I think it'll be funny.
Oh, Frasier.
Is Frasier's dad still with us?
He is not.
No.
When did he pass?
2018.
Okay, so that's more recent than I would have guessed.
Yeah. I think everyone else is still... Like, the article that you posted, Basil, said that Kelsey Grammer wasn't going to do this, or had suggested in the past that he wouldn't do this unless he got everyone else on board. So I'm assuming it's not just going to be, like... I'm assuming they're coming back in some form.
I really hope so. I mean, usually these things can be hit and miss, but, and I didn't think these things were really all that possible. Then Cobra Kai happened, And yeah, it became one of the best TV shows I've ever seen in my life, and it shouldn't be that. It just shouldn't, but it is. So, and they've got the two guys heading it are Chris Harris, who worked on How I Met Your Mother, and Joe Cristalli, who did a thing called Life in Pieces. And apparently the same person has also ran a Frasier Twitter account thinking about what he would be in modern day. So I guess they have ideas.
Yeah.
I guess they have ideas.
That's one thing that I don't know how the... Because the setup for Frasier is basically like this 90s stereotype of kind of culture clash, where you've got kind of normal, lowbrow type of people and these really snobby people. And I feel like the 2020s version of that does not look like the 90s version of it and might be a little off-putting.
What, you're not down? I'm down with Frasier as a VTuber.
Oh, God. No.
Can you imagine just, you know, hearing over Twitch, I'm listening.
God, we are playing Minecraft today.
It's time to get our victory royale. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I believe it is you who are sus, sir.
Oh, man. Frasier TikToks?
Oh, God.
Man, too bad Quibi shut down already, you know? Come on.
They could go a lot of ways with this.
I don't know that I feel great about, like, mentioning random cultural touchstones to try to sound relevant. Because that could go the other way. That could go... Could make him look like, you know, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah.
But maybe that's what we need. I mean, this also prompted a lot of people to post pictures of, you know, Kelsey Grammer and Starfleet stuff. And I would actually be fine if they just made yet another Star Trek show. That I'd be okay with that.
Frasier would basically be Deanna Troi.
Yeah, but also the captain.
Because he was in a movie.
He is in one of the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Is he a Klingon?
No, he's just a regular Starfleet captain.
Yeah, no, it's Christopher Lloyd who's a Klingon.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that.
And Christopher Plummer.
And Chris. So, see, you have to be named Christopher to be a Klingon in a Star Trek movie. That's the rule.
Go figure.
Let's take a quick break, and we're kind of going to come back with Nintendo news. We return with Nintendo news and traditional things. And by mean traditional, I mean the tradition of to have plenty of sword-based characters for Smash Brothers Ultimate. Because they've already got the character with the biggest sword, Sephiroth. Now they have characters that are just straight up actually swords themselves. Because we're getting Xenoblades, Pyra, and Mythra for Smash Brothers Ultimate. And the new Fighters Pass.
As it should be.
Sure, why not?
The only way I would be happier with this selection is if they were a Fire Emblem character. All the Fire Emblem characters are Smash. Everyone else
all
can
of
eat
them.
It. Like, if they just turned Fire Emblem heroes into Smash, I'd be fine.
All the Fire Emblem characters, and inexplicably still Terry Bogard.
Yes.
But yeah, so, like, the Nintendo had a Direct a couple weeks ago. And it started off with this beautiful Xenoblade cutscene where Rex, where Xenoblade 2 was actually too new for them to actually develop Rex as a character to be in Smash, which is why he got a Mii Fighters outfit. Because that's the fastest they could pull a turnaround. And so it's Rex being all sad and mopey because he couldn't find Pyrrha. And the cutscene is so on point that I was literally, I was watching with Anna, and I'm like, this looks too good to be true. I'm pretty sure Pyrrha's missing because she's actually going to be revealed in Smash. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. I am very excited to see this what happened. Xenoblade 2 was the game that finally got me back into Xenoblade for real. And I'm very, very excited to try out these characters.
I mean, it's better than Shulk. Shulk sucks.
Why
does he have an Australian accent?
Bad dub. I wish I liked Shulk better. I'll say that much.
Well, also remember when Xenoblade was first localized, it was actually not localized for America. It was localized for Europe. And so it was Nintendo of Europe who actually put all that together. So that probably is why Shulk was Australian.
It is a weird cast. It is not the usual. It's on the plus side, it's not your usual stable of voice actors. On the downside, it's not your usual stable of voice actors. It's kind of a mixed bag in terms of quality.
And if you ask Basil, did you just, on the Switch remake, did you just use the Japanese voice cast? Of course I did. I told you Kevin trained me.
I mean, yeah, it's got like an all-star cast in the Japanese version, so.
Although, speaking of things like that, maybe, I don't know. We're getting Famicom Detective Club? We're getting Famicom Detective Club.
That's a thing.
The missing heir and the girl who stands behind. These are like, again, they're called Famicom because it was designed for the Famicom disk system in the 80s. And it's now like fully revamped with like modern day graphics and voice acting and
a lot of animation to the characters.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I know that's sort of the hot new thing with visual novels. By hot new thing, they've been doing it for a few years now, but it's got a lot of little bits of animation from the trailer I saw.
No, yeah, Nintendo gave these remakes some love. They're coming out on May 14th, and I am all about it. All about it. I also didn't include it in my notes, but man, that new Monster Hunter Rise sure does look pretty. I don't know if anyone here is interested in playing Monster Hunter Rise. I am, but
Is the combat going to be any faster than in traditional Monster Hunter games?
Yeah, that's kind of my sticking point with World.
Well,
I keep forgetting I don't especially like Monster Hunter games every few years, and then I try another one, and I go, oh yeah, I don't really like Monster Hunter games.
See, that's actually my problem with Fire Emblem, is that I tend to buy every one of them, then I play them for a little bit, and then realize it's not Final Fantasy Tactics enough for me. It's a little bit too more Advance Wars, which is great, because apparently Studio Art Dink heard my cries, and I guess are taking a break from making A-Train games, because they're the developer for Project Triangle Strategy.
Yeah, I really should play the demo for this.
I didn't realize the demo was out, or I probably would have played it.
Yeah, it came out when they made the announcement. It was one of those, hey, you can play the demo right now. I played through the first mission. It does have like a very Final Fantasy Tactics kind of feel to it, but it's also like, after playing like enough of Disgaea and Fire Emblem games, I kind of forgot, oh yeah, sometimes they'll just do like a, you know, queue turn based instead of my turn your turn kind of thing, and that took me a second to get reacclimated to. I was like, wait, why are they going, why can I not move this other character?
And I dig whoever it is who's responsible for the art, or like that in Octopath Traveler, it's got a really nice style. I dig the look of it.
Oh yeah, it's handled by the same development, you know, overseers of like Octopath and the Bravely games.
Yeah. I dig their art aesthetic, and that is I mean, you can have really great mechanics, but if you're just completely turned me off with their visual presentation, I'm probably not going to stick around.
Like, you mean the in-game art or the?
Well, like, both the art, the in-game art as well, because it's like, I'm not saying you have to be super detailed. You just have to be pleasant to look at.
Yeah, and they do both. The video that I saw of this and Bravely Default do a good job, or not Bravely Default, Octopath Traveler, do a good job of kind of mixing 2D and 3D.
Yeah.
I believe they refer to their particular style as like 2D HD or HD 2D. No, I think they call it 2D HD, yeah. Where they're taking sprites and then using the Unreal Engine and turning all the effects on.
Yeah.
So it becomes this really, really pretty 3D game, but still marriages like the sprite based graphics with the 3D and just this to this really cool looking style that, frankly, if all games just looked like this, old me is just fine with. And
yeah, I've got a love for the sprites there. Yeah
and same. Just it's also is perfect for a tactical game. Because everything is like these squares a la Final Fantasy Tactics. It spins around. It feels very, very like this is the sequel for Final Fantasy Tactics that we never got. So the Octopath / Bravely Default folks were like, y'all, we get it. We're the ones that take care of you when Square Enix, you know, proper doesn't. So we got you, fam.
I feel like I remember Final Fantasy Tactics did the same 2D sprites on 3D for some of the cutscenes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was how the game worked.
Like, it's 100% following that pattern. Just looks really, really nice.
Is it weird that, like, my interest in this game hinges on, like, whether or not the actual title of the game is a Final Fantasy Tactics game or not, which it's probably not going to be.
Oh no, they're just going to call this game Triangle Strategy.
That's incredibly stupid. If they do that, that is incredibly stupid.
I mean, they could call it...
The name isn't final, though.
Well, they also called their previous game Project Octopath Traveler.
Oh.
It's just like Octopath Traveler. Now, I want them to... I hope it comes out called Project Triangle Strategy Working Title. Like, I hope that's the official title on the box.
Like, are we doing, like, an untitled goose game kind of thing? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Untitled strategy game. Guest star featuring Goose from Untitled Goose Game.
I'll buy that DLC. These folks making this did come out of the Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light. So Bravely Default and Octopath Traveler, they use a lot of the same terminology as Final Fantasy games, since they're both Square Enix games, they can get away with it. But it's very much they wanted to use their own names, so that way, in case they did not want to be beheld to Final Fantasy, they didn't have to. So I doubt we're going to get a Final Fantasy Tactics title in here. It may not be called Triangle Strategy, but I highly feel like that's going to be called Triangle Strategy.
That's a stupid name.
Octopath
Traveler at least sounds interesting.
That is true. But remember, this is also the same team that gave us Bravely Default. Then Bravely Default Second Lair, and now we're getting Bravely Default 2.
The third game in the series.
What is it with people that can't fucking name things?
Naming is the hardest problem in software development.
Well, that's because all their naming team went to Nintendo because Mario Golf Super Rush is coming out. And that's, I mean, cool. That's cool. It's got a story mode, and that's actually my big interest. Because I really enjoyed the Game Boy Advance Camelot Mario Golf games because it has story mode. It was actually a golf RPG. So if this golf is just RPG. Giving me a new golf RPG in Mario Golf, I'm pretty down with that.
I want Link and Isabelle in Mario Golf. If they can be in Mario Kart, they should damn well be able to be in Mario Golf.
I mean, I know... you could use Link and Isabelle, like, you know, Mies as your characters in Mario Golf in the story mode.
I'd rather that all Mies just, like, Nintendo just needs to remove that from their lexicon, their lineup, whatever. Just no. Mies were cute back when the Wii came out. It's like, oh, it's Wii and me, and oh, okay, yeah, that's cute. We need to get that shit right up out of here, okay? If you can't come up with a proper character creator, you need to just fuck right off.
You know, they could put all those characters in their golf game if they would just call it NES Open or even Nintendo Open Tournament Golf, like back in the day, and, you know, put them all in stereotypical golf clothes.
This is why my secret hope for the next Capcom Versus game is literally just called Capcom Versus. Because now you can get anybody from any franchise into your fighting game, apparently. Like, it used to be like, oh, we can't ever have fucking Super Robot Wars because it'd be a licensing nightmare, right? But no, now you can get Terry Bogard and Smash and fucking, you know, Noctis and Tekken. I mean, anything goes. Anything goes. So just name it Capcom Versus. If you get some Marvel characters in there, cool. If not, if they're going to fucking try and run shit again like they did with Marvel Infinite and Ultimate, just say, fuck them, we don't need it. You know, get some fucking Square Enix characters, get some Tekken characters, and just make everything broken as fuck. That's all I need. And Zero.
Capcom versus everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just fucking go.
You know, honestly, I think that's the best idea they could have for a Versus game, because I really wonder, with that last Marvel versus Capcom, it felt like it was so now dependent on the Marvel movie stuff to do anything. I wonder if it really just hampered their ability to get the game done how they wanted to.
I don't know that for a fact, but I know that for a fact based on, like, when Ultimate came out. Like, all the characters that were added were not popular characters at the time. They were characters that were going to be in the MCU. Rocket Raccoon, Doctor Strange, Nova. Hell, Nova still hasn't shown up in the MCU, but my point is, Marvel very specifically wanted certain characters in Ultimate, and they did the same thing in Infinite, which is why there were no X-Men. It was why half the, you know, and plus it had to come out on Marvel's MCU schedule, which is why it was super rushed. Most of the Capcom side was just retreads. And the game looked like shit. Like, all... And there wasn't even a proper fucking title screen in that game. Like, if you play Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and then play Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, you'll swear to God that Infinite came out, like, 10 years before.
Wow. I did not play Infinite at all.
I mean, the game system was good enough, but, you know, the game looked like garbage. No, there was no support from the FGC, and Marvel bullied them every step of the way, and they couldn't make a decent game because of it. So just say fuck it to Marvel. If they'll let you license a couple of characters here and there, cool. If not, fuck them. We'll just get every character from every other franchise in there, and we'll just make this game broken as fuck, fun to watch.
I put Speed Racer in it.
Hell, why not? I don't care.
Why was
Frazier in it?
Yeah!
They can do what they did with Tetsunoko versus Capcom. They can have fucking Gold Lightning in there. They can have a 60-foot-tall Zippo in there. Like I said, I don't care. Just, you know, give me Zero and make everybody broken. That's all I care about.
When everyone's broken.
Speaking of more Nintendo stuff, we're getting a remake of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is great specifically for me, because
and
when
possibly only you
look when the Wii game came out, my TV on non HD inputs refused to display the color blue.
That's oh my! Oh, no.
So now imagine this game called Skyward Sword, emphasis on sky, now runs as if it lived in original Game Boy pea green soup.
Oh, God.
It was unplayable. So I am actually very excited.
I mean, some would argue that that had nothing to do with your...
So just to split the difference here, like, I did play Skyward Sword for a while, and I remember hitting the point where you start opening up new zones. And unlike in a lot of Zelda games, it's not... I don't remember it being so much like you pick up this item and now you use this item to get, you know, across the river or to break this rock or whatever. It was literally like, there's a mechanic that opens up this new zone. I was like, this is kind of linear for me. And I kind of dropped it. That's not to say it's a bad game. It just wasn't what I wanted out of a Zelda game.
Yeah, I never played it myself.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't go back and play it, especially, you know, in a format where I don't have to deal with Wiimotes, you know, like physical movement. Because as I remember, this on Wii, this actually came out with an attachment that made your Wiimote movements a little more...
Yes! They had to release a separate peripheral to make your... Wiimote movements more precise, because it was such garbage trying to play that game without it.
Well, I don't think it was... My guess is it opened up new types of... Like, gave you more types of feedback or something, as opposed to fixing a problem.
Yeah, with the original Wii Remote, it had one accelerometer. And so with the Wii Motion Plus, it added a second accelerometer, which allowed them to be able to do the diagonals much smoother and actually receptive versus more of a straight waggle. Now, apparently the Joy-Cons have enough accelerometer tech in them so they can also replicate the movements of a Wii Motion along with the Wii Motion Plus, everything that style. But they're also mapping that to the right analog stick. So if you just don't want to waggle at all, you can just use the stick to swing around the sword without having to actually, you know, throw your Joy-Cons about. So that's cool. And I'm curious to see how it plays. And next year, I'm very excited to throw my ink towards Splatoon 3. I did not really play Splatoon 1, but I had a lot of fun playing Splatoon 2. I actually couldn't do the single player because it gave me motion sickness. But if I used the ink roller, I could play multiplayer Splatoon 2 all day, which was weird, but I had a lot of fun with it. This may be another game that's really just for me out of the grouping of us.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually got it and played it for whatever reason, even though it seems like the type of thing I might be into.
I would be more willing to give it a chance if Nintendo's online support and general online experience with playing games wasn't such dog shit.
Yeah, the whole having to use this weird phone app is really not great.
I didn't realize.
Well, not
that
to
was
mention
a thing.
What was the story that came out a few weeks ago? Like, they were updating their servers or something from like 2007 or some shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently the tech they had licensed to run their servers, they are now no longer using that, and they're upgrading to a way more recent technology base for the future. So that is good. I don't think there's any downside to this. They're going from old and creaky to smooth and shiny. That can only be good, I really hope.
We hope. We hope.
Can only maybe be really good, possibly.
Much like the remakes of Diamond and Pearl.
That's a thing.
It is a thing. So I think this was today or no, yesterday. Yesterday they announced they are doing Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which is a full-on ground-up remake, at least visually, if nothing else, of Diamond and Pearl, which were DS Pokemon games, and it's being developed by ILCA, who is a studio that's been around for a minute. They're actually called, it stands for I Love Computer Art. And they have worked on things like Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, Yakuza 0, Nier Automata, Ace Combat, Dragon Quest XI. They also designed the cloud-based storage for Pokemon Home. So they're definitely one of those studios that has, this is probably the first time they get to say, this is the game we are working on. Mm-hmm. So I am hoping that they do well with it. I know folks are hit and miss with the graphical style, where it feels very much they are just taking the game and just making it the same game, but with 3D graphics. Whereas Diamond Pearl eventually did use a 3D engine, but all the art was still sprite-based. I kind of wish they had went for a more of a cel-shaded style to more reflect the sprites. What I really want would be like super awesome HD sprites a la, well, Project Triangle Strategy, but I know I'm not going to get that. And what I am getting looks fine. And I am interested in playing it. What this really reminded me is that, oh, I got that Pokemon DLC. I really need to play the Pokemon DLC.
Pokemon.
This is the point where I just reiterate my stance on Pokemon, which is I just want every game to be let's go Eevee, let's go Pikachu. I want that experience in like all the different Pokemon games. Like, I want to be able to pet my fucking Pokemon, okay? I want to be able to high-five it and feed it and get letters from it and be really creeped out about it. And, you know, I want to, you know, change its hairstyle. And I want all that shit. I want that cute-ass shit. I don't want to fucking run around and catch Pokemon. I just want to play with mine. Okay?
You want that right. Sincere Omotenashi.
That's dog right. That's goddamn right. Steps.
That's right. We want Dream Poke Club.
That's right.
And that's why the head padding minigame needs to come back to Fire Emblem.
Hell yes, let's go.
Oh no.
But
I will give Flayne all the head pads and Bernie and all the best girls. Edelgard, you want some head pads? I'm here for it.
Look, she needs the encouragement before she launches her fascist reign of terror.
Here's the thing.
Don't we all.
I still roll with Edelgard over the church. I have no idea why I'm so mistrusting of religious organizations, but, you know, I still roll with Edelgard on that one. Yeah, these, you know, there's like these three immortals that run everything. Maybe we shouldn't have that.
But do you need to see the contract?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm well aware. I'm well aware of having been sold by the Pope.
Fire Emblem Three Houses spoilers. The Pope tries to sell you.
We're not talking about Fire Emblem. The Pokemon Presents was not about Fire Emblem, but Pokemon. And Pokemon Legends Arceus, or as I thought they should have called it, Ghost of Tsunoshima, where they are coming out with this new game, Pokemon Legends Arceus, which is not Arceus, because one of the voice actors at the time didn't want people to say Arceus.
Yeah.
And it's coming in early 2022, and it's set in the olden days in the Sinnoh region, which is the same region as Diamond and Pearl. And so it's a lot of people are making references to Breath of the Wild, which it kind of looks like that. But for me, I was just thinking, oh man, this is Tsunoshima. This is the olden days in the Sinnoh region with your weird carved wood Pokeballs. And it may still be like an active time battle system, who knows, but I'm sure we'll hear more about it. It very much looks like it's using the wild area engine part of Pokemon Sword and Shield, and which means that the frame rate may not be the best, but it should still be fun to play.
I'm just hoping I can hop on the back of some kind of flying Pokemon and cruise around.
Who knows? I mean, there are currently literally now people going, I wonder if we'll get the Super Switch or the Switch Pro in early 2022 for the new Pokemon game. And I'm like, man, who knows? Who the hell knows? except that I do know we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a whole bunch of Sony stuff and more. This is the Awesome Cast. And we return with Sony things. Things like, we just had a Guilty Gear Strive beta and senior FGC correspondent John has played it. Tell us more.
It was a lot of fun when it worked, which wasn't always. There were extended down periods. Once it went public, presumably because of the extra traffic. It was a fun experience. It looks great. It plays well.
This is the one with the fabulous hair, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's hair is fucking fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just a...
I mean, one of the characters literally uses her hair as a weapon. It was fun. It was gorgeous. The netcode was good, except for a couple of matches where it wasn't. Somebody might have been, like, lag switching or something. I hate the Arxis lobby system. If I wanted to be in an arcade setting, I would be in an arcade, not like moving my virtual character around trying to find matches with people. Please stop doing that. I know you won't, but please stop. yeah, it's got a lot of fun things to try with the game system. And you can use meter to cancel moves and, you know, push block and all kinds of technical shit that if you really cared about it, you probably already played it. I'm just gonna put it that way, but it is a lot of fun. Maybe if you're a more casual player of fighting games, I know it's gonna have a story mode. I know it's not gonna make a damn bit of sense, but you know, you can try that. Arxis games usually have a pretty robust tutorial system, but this was just the beta, so we got, you know, training mode and a couple of online modes, and that was really it.
My only worry about Guilty Gear Strive, and I guess fighting games aren't forming like they used to be when I was younger, but it's a case of, for me, Arc System Works sure does make a lot of fighting games. They make Guilty Gears. They make Blaze Blues. They make Dragon Ball FighterZ. They also made the Grand Blue fighting game. They just
made
seem like
the Persona fighting games.
Yeah, like they make so many fighting games. It honestly creates me kind of like, is this something that I can, if I decide to start playing it, and try to take it remotely seriously, how long will they stick with any one particular game before they make another four?
Yeah, and they've gotten better about it, but Arxis is still, you know, they have this habit of occasionally just making a new game, and by making a new game, it's really just an update or some extra characters, and everything else about the game is the damn same. They did that with the previous Guilty Gear. They had Guilty Gear Zerd or Xrd or however the fuck you pronounce it. And then they had Revelator, and then they had Rev 2, which apparently isn't Revelator 2, but it is Revelator 2. Anyway, naming conventions aside, yeah, they had like three different versions of the last Guilty Gear game. Dragon Ball FighterZ has just had the one, but all the characters that they added are literally either Goku or Vegeta, or both of them together as one person.
I know that got me actually, though, because I know that rollback netcode is important because of how it handles the data as you're fighting stuff with online, and rollback overall works way smoother than delay-based netcode.
Yes.
And so, the producer of Kingdom Fighters 15 Yasuyuki Oda released a tweet of going, frankly, on the back of this successful Guilty Gear Strive beta, where he said, "You'll be happy to hear that we've been working hard on an internal rollback solution for King of Fighters 15 from early on in the dev cycle. There is still a lot of work remaining, so we can't make any promises, but please be patient." So I'm really hoping that the rollback netcode works, it's good, and King of Fighters 15 ends up being awesome. Because right now, SNK has King of Fighters, and they have Samurai Showdown, and while I would really love to see rollback put into Samurai Showdown to sort of give that series a shot in the arm, because that has been my favorite fighting game from back when I was younger, but if it just means I get an awesome new King of Fighters, that might be the game that I jump on. I'm not sure.
God, I really would love to play more of Samurai Showdown, the new one, but the online experience is awful. I think Japanese developers need to no longer be allowed to develop their own, online modes and stuff. Like, they shouldn't be in charge of what kind of netcode gets implemented, because, Japan is really small and their internet is pretty sophisticated. So, like, they can have a dog shit netcode and lobby system that still works fine because they're in Japan. Anybody else, though, can't do it.
Like, I've even noticed for, this is not a fighting game at all, but, I play a lot of Final Fantasy 14. And I really, there are many times where I kind of wonder what I'm doing when I was doing the more super hard end game rating stuff, where so many things requires so much precision. And most people, if they're closer to a data center, they're of course better off in that respect. And I really wonder if, the development of 14, how much they really put into thoughts. Now, we can still clear, Lord knows, Anna, she still does high end rating, and one of the people that she raids with, some live in California. One person lives in Australia. And they are still clearing this high end content. So clearly, they have honestly probably actually figured it out. But it really just showed me just how important good netcode needs to be and to exist and to be able to handle things. Because as precision based as it can be for high-end rating, that's still nothing compared to the precision needed in a fighting game.
Oh my god, yeah. We're talking literally, like 3 frames, 6 frames. Like, 6 frames is a long-ass time in a fighting game, relatively speaking.
Yeah, so I really do hope that rollback netcode and just better netcode is just keeps happening, because if nothing else, these past year and plus change has taught us is that the internet is becoming more important than ever before. Because even when things go back to quote unquote normal, they're still not going to be normal. And yeah, but anyway, speaking of MMOs, PlayStation 5 is getting a new VR system. So maybe this is the one where everyone can get trapped while playing Sword Art Online.
Yay. And, wait, and then, no.
Yeah, I was about to say, the one that leaves you completely paralyzed and has all kinds of awful implications that don't really get addressed.
Look, this is going to have dramatic leaps in performance and interactivity. So, I'm just saying, this might be it. I mean, it's from everything from resolution to field of view, tracking, input. It's only going to need a single cord to connect to the PS5, which is already actually amazing, because I don't know if anyone's ever tried to mess with the tangle of cords and boxes that's required to use the PlayStation VR and PS4, but going from all that to one cord is a pretty significant leap. Not that I can actually do VR in the slightest, but you know what? It was news, and it's happier news than Japan studio going away. Pour one out for Japan Studio. It's being reorganized, and pretty much Team Asobi, who are the folks that had done all the Astrobot games, they get to stick around. And honestly, a lot of the folks have already actually, like, left. Where some of the folks, they have developed, they've already formed their own studios. And a lot of them already actually now have their own independent studios apart from Sony. So this might just be a case of Sony lost all their talent. So they're like, well, I guess the team that stuck around was Asobi, so let's just shut down Japan Studio. But man, we got Ape Escape was Japan Studio. Tokyo Jungle was Japan Studio. It was, you know, the longest running Japanese based studio that PlayStation Sony has. And it's just a real shame.
Yeah.
Team Asobi, make me an Ape Escape game.
Yeah.
We haven't a good Ape Escape in forever.
Or Tokyo Jungle 2.
Astro's Playroom is fucking good. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really good.
It's super good. It is probably, I know people keep talking about, you know, the remake of Demon's Souls, but I'll tell you that Astro's Playroom is the best exclusive Sony has right now on the PS5.
It definitely made me feel like, you know, the old days when systems came with packing games, and they're almost always a platformer, because, you know, it was like Mario and Sonic and shit. And, playing Astro is like, oh yeah, this is just like having a launch platformer that's really good and shows off all of the technical aspects of the console.
Yeah, no, Astro's Playroom is absolutely baller. But don't worry, Kevin. Tetsuro Toyama, the director of Gravity Rush and Siren, and he was the creator of Silent Hill, he has formed a studio called the Bokeh Game Studio back in 2020, so we'll hopefully still get good video games out of the core of Japan Studio. Yeah. And again, Team Asobi is awesome. They make good games. Yeah. So
I hope all the Japan Studios talent finds happy homes doing whatever work they want to be doing.
And I don't know if y'all watched any of the Sony State of Play.
I really didn't.
Man.
Not live, no.
I would highly recommend at least going and watching the trailer for Sifu, which is a kung fu brawler from the team that made Absolver. Because that thing looks baller as hell. What it really reminded me of, and am I remotely actually knowledgeable about kung fu at all? No. But it looked like the Netflix show Daredevil. They made a game out of the hallway fight, and it looks boss as hell. And apparently every time you die, you actually just come back a little bit older. So you actually get to watch as your character ages. But I think there's some game mechanic where as you die and you come back a little bit older, you'll also get like more abilities to use or more tech tree points or something that will let you keep getting better even as you fail. And it looks cool. It looks absolutely cool. The other game I remember from the State of Play that made me go, ooh, this kind of looks cool, was Kena Bridge of Spirits, which is coming from Studio Ember Lab, and it is hitting in August on PS4/PS5. Also watch that trailer. It looked really, really, really neat. It kind of looked like what if Horizon Zero Dawn, but magic? Because she's got, okay, like this cool magic staff, and she's doing all, like, she's like using these cool abilities and using like the magic staff to make like a magic like bow and arrow, and it looks super, super pretty. We're talking like almost, if not Pixar pretty, at least DreamWorks pretty.
Okay.
Like it looks super, super pretty. And now the news that everyone wanted, that was like everyone didn't know when it was going to hit, whether it was during a concert, but it came to State of Play. Final Fantasy VII Remake is getting getting a PS5 version that looks very similar to the PS4 version, except it has better lighting and better glowy effects. And
I'm going to guess the words ray tracing are involved somewhere.
I would not be surprised. I think in some of the video, it looked like when they were showing stuff, it looked like that there were some reflections that definitely reminded me of ray tracing. So that could definitely be a thing. So, yeah. Ray tracing could definitely be a thing. And Lord knows, I just got done playing Control with ray tracing. And whew, that is pretty. I don't know if you have downloaded Control on PS5 yet, John, and played it yet, but turn ray tracing on. It is very pretty.
I've got it in my library because there was a PS Plus game very recently. But I have not played it yet, so that's something I need to do.
Highly, highly recommend it. Control is very, very, very good. But along with reveals of the PS5 version, which again looks nicer and will run at either 4K or 60 frames per second, we're also getting extra DLC featuring Yuffie.
I'm here for it.
That looked cool as hell, and then had a dude from Dirge of Cerberus, which matters for those who played Dirge of Cerberus.
If you're real deep-ass into Final Fantasy VII lore.
I played Dirge of Cerberus. I can tell you, that in fact does not matter to me.
Now, that said, speaking of PlayStation Plus games, Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be one of the PlayStation Plus games for March. But that said, it is not going to be upgradable for free to the PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake. But if you actually did buy Final Fantasy VII Remake, whether it's digital or disc-based on PS4, it will upgrade to the PS5 version for free. And then the Yuffie stuff will just be a paid DLC.
Now, is that only going to be available for the PS5 version?
As far as we know, as of this recording, yes.
Yeah, that's the part I was a little fuzzy on. Of course, you know, I still have not gotten the PS5.
Well, I wish you all the luck to get it as soon as June lets you.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. This does wiggle my needle a little towards, you know, maybe I should get that PS5. I still don't feel a super intense drive.
Look, I just think you should get a PS5 just to upgrade that old creaky PS4 of yours.
Well, probably, yeah, but...
But that's okay. You can also get Remnant from the Ashes, which was a Dark Souls-inspired shooter, Kevin. That is also going to be for PlayStation Plus, as well as Maquette. But I don't know if that is a PS5 only or if that's PS5 and PS4.
I think it's just a PS5.
Yeah, it seems like they've been doing like two that are either for PS4 or both PS4 and PS5, and then one that's just PS5 lately.
Which, admittedly, so far, they've been pretty freaking awesome with their PlayStation Plus, especially if you did land a PS5. Because, again, we got Control Ultimate Edition, which is with the DLC and the PS5 bonuses, which was cool. Again, you're getting Final Fantasy VII Remake, Maquette, Remnant from the Ashes, and Farpoint, which was a VR game, but whatever. But that's still, like, Maquette is a brand new game. Sony, honestly, with PlayStation Plus, has kind of been, but they've been wanting it. And it's so far, I think, is a pretty good answers to Microsoft's Game Pass, because Game Pass is a very, very good deal, but it feels like Sony's like, well, we don't want people to spend like another charge on top of the PlayStation Plus charge we already are charging them. Let's just make PlayStation Plus as good as it can be. And so far, they're doing a pretty darn good job of it.
Yeah, it's a great value, especially if you can get it on sale. Because at times, especially around Black Friday, you can get it for like $30-$35, depending. So yeah, always load up when you can, because it's always been a really good deal.
Or just be an absolute mark like me, put it on your credit card and forget whenever it actually does renew.
Oh, I was actually literally earlier today checking several of my things that like renew on an annual basis just to like remind myself when I'm expecting those to happen.
Oh, I always turn that shit off immediately.
I should. But you know, for the excellent platform on Twitch that is These Are Video Games, it's time to fire up your phone, John, to play Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier. Because it's time to Fortnite and Final Fantasy.
Oh, what? God.
Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier is a iOS/Android-based battle royale game that takes place 30 years before Final Fantasy VII. And it's pretty much a bunch of soldiers, as in, you know, capital S soldiers, shooting it up in Midgar. It's pretty much Fortnite, but Final Fantasy.
Oh, do not want.
I mean, it's fine. You don't gotta play it, but frankly, between Fortnite, Call of Duty's free-to-play game, Apex, like, there is a lot of games that are battle royales on phones, and they all do incredibly well. It does behoove Square to use all these high-resolution assets they built for the remake to just get a battle royale game and just rake in some cash.
Yeah.
Frankly, the weirder game they announced, which is also coming out, First Soldier is coming out later on this year, but next year they're launching a game called Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, which is frankly even wilder because it's a, quote, chapter-structured single-player game covering the whole of the Final Fantasy VII timeline, including the events of the original game and Final Fantasy VII companion titles. We're talking before Crisis. We're talking Crisis Core. We're talking Final Fantasy VII. We're talking Dirge of Cerberus. We're talking Advent Children. All taking place in a chapter-based phone app with sort of turn-based gameplay, but not the original turn-based gameplay. Graphically, it reminds me a lot of the Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition, and in many ways, it looks like it's the graphics are either like cute characters with redone CG backgrounds, and then the battle systems, they look like remake. It actually looks like what an actual remake of the original game should probably do if they are still making a turn-based game remake of the original game. But the fact that they're going from, like, before Crisis, the phone game that we only got in Japan, the PSP game, the main game, and then covering Dirge of Cerberus and Advent Children as a video game, but in a phone thing, it's weird.
Yeah. That one I'm a little more interested in, just because single player.
But my question.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit when we were doing our best of, and I was talking about how Final Fantasy VII Remake, you know, made me care about Final Fantasy VII in a way I hadn't in a very long time. These other games are exactly what I'm fucking talking about when I said I stopped caring about Final Fantasy VII. All this other shit I just didn't need.
Well, I am actually kind of interested in Ever Crisis, just because, if nothing else, this may give me Final Fantasy VII with the revamped localization I've been looking for since they started re-releasing Final Fantasy VII on anything. And graphically, it looks just like a better version of Final Fantasy VII. Now, what makes me kind of like, well, we'll see, is, again, they're saying it's chapter-based. How big are these chapters? How much is this going to cost? Do I have to buy it every chapter? Is it one big price up front, and do I just get the chapters? Is this something that just requires a monthly fee? There's unfortunately just not a lot.
Will there be a gacha pool so I can play as Sephiroth?
Yeah, like, I don't know enough. It doesn't sound like it's a gacha game, right? Like, it's actually... Because it's actually covering, you know, the actual events of the games. Although, what gets me is that apparently the First Soldier Battle Royale game is still going to have some form of scenario written by Kazushige Nojima, who is, you know, the writer of Final Fantasy VII and Remake. So...
Which is to say he scribbled something on a cocktail napkin one night after a lot of beer.
I mean, same thing for Dirge of Cerberus, so...
Yeah.
If
you told me that, I'd believe you. Man, I don't like that game.
Although apparently he is... Tetsuya Nomura did have a big interview that was mostly covered pretty well on Silicon Era, where he is actually stepping down from the Remake as the director. Like, his co-director will continue on being the director of the game, who was...
Thank Christ, because that means that game will get done in our lifetime.
Right, right.
But you can't fucking trust Nomura to get anything done. Like, okay, yeah, you want him to you know, come up with a concept, draw some characters, cool. Don't let him do anything else. Do not leave that man in charge.
Well, they're not. But he is because of this, he's out overseeing Ever Crisis and the First Soldier. So we'll see how that goes. They're still actually not even sure about including voice actors for Ever Crisis. He said he's working on so many titles and he has so many recording sessions scheduled, he's trying to avoid adding more. So they may just not do voices for cutscenes, they just may have it for battle voices. So that actually, for me, sounds pretty good, because that means that Ever Crisis, if it's just going to be chapter-based, one would imagine the chapters would have to be on a decent clip, and if you're going to do it, you need to be able to not have certain things, and I think voice acting is an easy thing to just drop, and I'm okay with that. He also mentioned...
There's a crossover with Fate Grand Order, and you can get Saber in the Gacha Pool to fight Sephiroth.
Ooh. Now we're talking. Or maybe get some Grand Blue. Yeah. Also, the Final Fantasy VII Remake, the PS5 version, they're also calling it Intergrade, which is supposed to refer to Middle Ground, because it's taking place between the Remake and the Remake Part 2. Apparently, it's also an homage to Final Fantasy VII International, which added tweaks and improvements, because this is also adding tweaks and improvements. But, yeah, so I am actually really curious about Ever Crisis. I think that could be the game for me on my phone. But it really depends on the pricing. Like, am I paying $10 a month now just for a video game that's not Final Fantasy XIV? And can you make a game that's worthy of that subscription fee?
Or is it like you're paying $10 for like a chapter and it's divided into like 20 chapters?
Right. So that's the question. And man, I don't know. But that is all the news that's fit to awesome. There we go. All the news that's fit to awesome. I got the catchphrase, y'all.
Yay, it's a catchphrase.
So, out of all these Vidya games we have just talked about, what is y'all's most games you excited for games?
Games?
Games.
Games. I'm sort of excited about games in general. You'll probably actually, like I said, I haven't downloaded the demo, but I should probably the Triangle Strategy game.
Yeah, that is.
I have the problem that hearing about Triangle Strategy and Bravely Default 2 reminds me that, like, I stalled out on Octopath Traveler, and I need to just admit to myself I'm never going back and finishing it, but probably Triangle Strategy or maybe Skyward Sword.
Although, honestly, we haven't talked about it, but... If you're going to say what game I'm actually looking most forward to right now is the remake of Saga Frontier. For real.
I mean, that's true. I mean, there's no real news about that because it's about to come out. But yeah, it is still wild to me, Kevin, that all your Kwazu games get way better remake treatments than actual Final Fantasy games.
It's weird, isn't it?
They're redrawing all the freaking backgrounds for Legend of Mana. Like, which I guess is something else was on the Nintendo Direct. Like, hey, Legend of Mana's getting a remake. And people have, like, done their diligence in trying to figure things out. And as far as people can tell, it's using up-res sprites, but all the backgrounds are just straight-up redrawn. Like, all the backgrounds just are just redrawn high-definition versions of the pre-existing backgrounds in the correct style. Like, it's... And looking at, you know, Saga... freaking Frontier looking just amazing in HD, and I go back and look at what they've done with Final Fantasy VII, and I'm like, what the freaking hell? What powers does Kwazu hold over Square to give him the best remakes ever? I don't get it.
I don't know, but I'm glad for it, because it seems like they're actually finally getting to finish Saga Frontier. Because that game was not finished when they released it. That's just an unfortunate truth.
What are you looking forward to, John?
I really enjoyed my time with Guilty Gear Strive, so I'm looking forward to that. I want to be excited about the PS5 upgrade for Final Fantasy VII Remake. But being, you know, like a quarter of the way through my first playthrough, presumably, I also... kind of have this weird feeling of like, is this a game I'm going to play through twice? And do I want to wait until June to continue? And I think the answer to that is probably no.
Honestly, looking at the graphics, I could not. I mean, I could tell there were differences, but it's not so huge that if you don't want to wait, don't wait. That said, June's going to be here before we know it. That's only, like, 3 months away. 4 with change. Like, it's not that far away. Not really. But my goal is, what I'll probably do is I will upgrade it, and then I'll play the Yuffie DLC, and I'll be good. But I am looking forward to Project Triangle Strategy. Well, play of the demo makes me excited to try out more of it. The Famicom Detective Club, for me, that is just such a surprise that that's something that we would get, and they actually localized the sucker. Like, I am still, that is still, the two really out there ones, that and Ever Crisis, I still want to know more about that. That seems extremely interesting, but we shall see. So yeah, this has been our bringing back of the World of Awesome segment as Awesome News, or sorry, OSM News. My bad, Charlie. He did bring up, he wasn't sure if we should call it Awesome News or OSM News. OSM News does sound more like we're an actual news network, so it's probably what we should be going with.
Because we are totally news.
Look. After seeing the existence of Fox News, Kevin, we're better than Totally News.
Okay, to be fair, by that admittedly low, low bar, we are totally legit news.
That's
and
right.
And it's not even the worst news network out there anymore.
It's true.
Low bar. Low bar to clear.
Man, what con was it where we discovered we were a legitimate news organization?
Was that the one news? Where they... weren't going to let us into the Fandom After Dark panel, or
yes,
that was this last Impact.
Yes,
I still haven't recovered from that trauma.
Yeah,
I was just too excited about them treating us like, you know, we actually might matter as news to be mad about it.
Yeah, this has been the OSM News, part of the Awesome Cast. Will we do this ever again? Who knows? Let us know what you think of it. That would honestly be like the biggest indicator, because I had fun talking about the news with y'all. Hopefully y'all had fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was down to double check. Well, Kevin, you're locked into this forever. I'm sorry. You you do you need to see the contract because you were sold by the Pope years ago?
Yeah, sorry, I murdered this.
But let us know what you thought. If you want us to keep doing it, we'll look into it. Maybe we'll make it a Patreon goal because we have a Patreon and we need goals. Or at least people to actually put money into the Patreon.
This could be our secret subscriber-only episode.
I mean...
Oh, no.
I'll do some NSFW ASMR or some shit. I don't know.
So let us know what you thought about this episode, but also what are the kinds of episodes you're willing to pay for? That's and you may be asking yourself, well, how do I let y'all know about these things? Well, we have Twitter, AwesomeCast. You also leave comments on the website for each episode at awesomecast.com. We also have our own Twitters. I'm at It's Basil Time. Kevin has Twitless_Kevin. Dylan's at Dylan Wolf. And John's at J5 is live. We also have a Discord where you can join the Discord and talk to us there and see us yammer about all sorts of things. It's a good time. We promise. No, it's a great time. You should definitely join the Discord.
Pictures of food are posted.
Routinely.
And delicious. Man, it is. That food looks so good, y'all. Like, I'm going to be gaining 150 pounds just from those pictures, and it's going to be great. Do not stop posting pictures, Dylan.
Everything from cakes to dinner to whatever you want. Man, I will, if you tell me, I will post more.
And things besides food, but I don't know. I've just been seeing a lot of food posts lately. That's not a complaint.
So this is a strange thing. Like, MomoCon did a Show Me Your Food channel on their Discord, and it's a weird thing to, but as like an older fan, I appreciate stuff like that. I appreciate you for putting channels like that in your Discord.
Yeah. So this has been the Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome, including the news sometimes. The show is edited by Anna. You can find her at Angel Darkfire with the middle A is silent on Twitter. The theme song was composed by James, a.k.a. DJ Inabito. You can find him at djinabito.com. You can also find John streaming on various evenings with Twitch/TheseAreVG for These Are Video Games. And they stream good things. And maybe if we pressure him enough, maybe we could get some streams of Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier, or Splatoon 3 next year.
We'll see.
Splatoon 3 is a game that I could actually play online, possibly.
I feel like some of those will also become more of a possibility if John and Mike can actually sit down on a couch again in the future, which is an amazing thought right now after the last year.
It is.
Maybe if cons actually happen, the voice actors will be way more eager to be interviewed again because they won't have done it in so long.
One can hope.
One can hope. So we hope that you'll tune to us next time. But until then, we're out.